Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about Spotsylvania this morning. Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors Chairman Chris Jakubowski is in this morning. I like the sound of that, Chris.
Oh, thank you.
Board Chairman, congratulations.
Thank you very much. And thank you to the rest of my board members for that. It's, you know, we do that every year. We change over a chairman, and this year they decided to pick me, and I do appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to an eventful year.
Yeah, and we got a lot of things to talk about. But I think because you and I have, this just says we're old. But we've been around here. I mean, you have so much knowledge of things, and you talk about things that I remember. But a lot of people on the board would not remember because they weren't around here at the time.
Right. Yes, I like to think of it as experience, not old. But
right, it is experience. Yeah. But that's needed. There's not a lot of that on a lot of boards anymore.
No, there isn't. And, you know, going back and just thinking of, you know, the years I've spent on the board and then the different people I've served with. Currently, you know, after me, the next longest serving board member is Mr. Marshall, who is finishing up his second term.
Right.
And then after that would be Dr. Frazier, who's a term and a half in. So
not a lot. Now, Mr. Marshall does have the experience of having his grandfather.
Correct. Yeah,
having been on the board, the family, but that's not a lot of. And local government does suffer when you don't have some institutional knowledge.
Well, no, absolutely, and you know it happens every year, and it, you know, I'm not faulting anybody who comes on and is brand new, but. You know, after being around for a while, you see the same questions being asked each new term, which is good because it's a refresher and it also makes you look at things again. But it also reminds you that you do need a lot of that historical knowledge just to say, we've already tried it that way. Not that you can't try it that way, but perhaps we tried a different way this time.
Well, in Spotsylvania and Stafford for that matter, and the city for that matter, just the growth.
Right.
The growth is just the other day having someone in, and they were tied to the Northern Neck and had come through and couldn't believe the growth around here. And I just said this is one of the fastest growing spots in the Commonwealth nation.
Yeah, it is, and it's not going to stop. I mean, we are in an ideal location. You know, we have a lot of fantastic people that live here, a great workforce. We got really good schools, a lot of great businesses. So, you know, the formula is there for us to continue to grow, which is not a bad thing. You know, you see it a lot of towns and a lot of counties, especially up in the Midwest and Northeast, that start to die off.
Yeah.
You know, the factory closes and the town closes up, and you know, crime increases, property values dip, education, you know, goes down. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with growth. It has to be done in such a way. I'm not a central planner whatsoever. It's the free market, you know, is in control. But it doesn't mean that you don't sort of plan out where you want to go. And you don't always end up there, nor does it always take the path that you know, would hope. But you can at least have a couple of thoughts of, you know, we should do it this way and we need to go in this direction. And then you change as you go along. But if you don't have any thoughts of what's going to, you know, happen in the future, where you want to go, you're just going to wind up in messes.
It's so interesting that...
Which is a great segue into some of this.
Yes, but it is, it's true. And in kind of in that vein, one of the topics that always, I mean, you've seen this come up, I'm probably two, three, maybe four times, a river crossing.
Right.
It just, it keeps coming up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the same things keep getting brought up, and they've been tried and talked about before. Having someone who has sat through it, you can say, like you say, you know, you can say, well, we tried it that way, and these were some of the concerns. This is why it didn't happen.
Well, and the other thing too, in addition to that, is, you know, going even back before me, are other folks that had been on different boards and commissions throughout the area that I know that I can, you know, kind of go and pick their brain and find out, well, why, you know, what happened here? Because, you know, I haven't been around that long, but, you know, in relatively speaking, it's been a while. But a lot of these issues go back multiple decades. And so trying to find out exactly why and how we can craft something. And yeah, the river crossing is one of those issues that, if you could imagine, if we had a crossing built 20 years ago.
Yeah.
How much better things would be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's always the downside. I mean, it, you know, it's never going to be a rosy scenario where it fixes everything, but it would make things better. And one of the things with a river crossing, if I can jump in real quick, is that too many people equate our road network as everything is equal and the same, and you can't do that. What you have are the federal roads, which are, you know, the interstate, and then you have the local roads, which are how we get around and go shopping, get our kids to school and go and you know, go to church and meet friends and all that type of stuff. And we need to separate out the two. I-95 is fantastic and wonderful, and I want to make sure that it works well, but not to the detriment of our local roads. So if I want to get up to Stafford, for whatever reason it might be, I don't need to get on Route 1, 95, the big roads, to do that. And that's what we're doing, is we're mixing in local traffic with through traffic. And that's why you come up with a problem. So a lot of these river crossing discussions that we have are not, they have nothing to do with the interstate. They have to do with the quality of life that is in the community and the adjacent communities, so that we can get around, you know, in between ourselves much better than we do now.
I just look, it's so many, and you and I have had discussions on so many of these things. Mm-hmm. I look at all the work being done, and I have high hopes for, you know, the Cosner's Corner area right now. To get through it is just, oh, whenever I have to go down through there, I just keep hoping.
I know
it will be better someday, but I don't know.
I know I keep running out of words to describe how bad it is.
Yes,
and you know it. People saw it years and years and years ago. Nobody wanted to do anything about it, and you know it's unfortunate the government doesn't act until there's a crisis. And so yes, it's horrible. There are several proposals that are out there. One of them just got smart scale approval, which is a VDOT plan to make that intersection of South Point 1 and 2 at Route 1 there better. It's another $70 million that they're going to be putting into it. But it just means that, you know, for the next 5-7 years, there's going to be construction going on. So perhaps at the end of that, you know, when I'm well retired, and it will work. But you know, this is just, it's a lack of planning. That's why one of the proposals that we have for a river crossing is not just the one that people have probably heard about from the back of Central Park over to Celebrate Virginia and Stafford.
Yeah.
But also in the New Post area from Spotsylvania over to Stafford from 17 to Route 3.
Yeah.
And so right now, if you go out there, people might, and people have said, why do you want to put a bridge there? There's nothing there. Well, that's the point. You put infrastructure in before you have the growth that comes. And our side, you know, for the most part, is it's not fully developed, but it's you know, pretty well along. Stafford is pretty empty over on that side, and they are very much in favor of it. So we have started the process of taking a look at the preliminary thought of it. You know, could it even happen? If it did, you know, what's in the way? Is, you know, could it be built there? All those type of things, because these processes take a long time before you actually put a shovel in the ground. And so that is another bridge crossing that we're talking about, because I didn't want all of our focus to be on one and all of our energy and time spent on one. Then let's just say it's done and we're you know, great, we're done, we're finished. Now what?
Right.
Well, now you go work on it. Well, you can do two things at the same time.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's good planning to have multiple items out there, especially, you know, the feds sometimes like to dole out some money here and there. So if you have a plan that's well thought out and, you know, worked up and ready to roll, and there comes some federal money, well, all the better. That can push it along even faster.
You take a look at something like the Blue Gray Parkway and think,
yes,
if that weren't there. At the time, it was, I think it was Gordon Shelton, you know, who,
yeah,
the, you know, the bridge to nowhere.
Right.
And
yep,
still, but without that, we'd all, to get where you're sitting right now, we all would have to go, you'd have to go through the city.
Right. Yeah. I was just thinking, yeah, how would I go to get all the way over here?
You'd have to go over the Chatham Bridge.
Yeah. Or take the scenic route out, you know, way further out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and that's the point, is it's good planning. It's you know, thinking these things. And then I think the big key that is missing to a lot of this is the communication with the public to let them know why. You know, I go on social media a lot just to see what people are talking about and see what's going on. And I don't comment a lot. I do a couple times when I need to. But a lot of the things that you see out there is just a lot of people filling in the blanks because they don't know what is in that blank. And it's not their fault. It's our fault that we don't put it out there. Why? What's the purpose? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? What will this help? What will this serve? Those type of questions that, you know, I don't blame people for being apprehensive about a lot of these things, because a lot of these things are just not well explained, and they need to be.
All that to say, welcome back to the chairman of the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors. But I think it is important to have people with some kind of knowledge of the area in these discussions. So,
right, and you know, I still feel like I haven't been here that long when you talk to other people whose families, you know, have been here for centuries. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's true.
But you know, I've been here long enough, and actually in the late 80s is when we moved here. So actually came at a point in time when things started to change. You know, we're on the upward swing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've seen a lot of changes, been around for a lot of it. And like I said, I have talked to, and sadly a lot of them have passed away, but older members of the board and city councils who have gone through all this, and you learn from them and you try to find out, you know, what happened, why they did things. You know, nobody's perfect and nobody makes, you know, 100% perfect decisions, but you can at least get an understanding of where they are coming from and the things they were trying to accomplish. And they did a lot of great things. They really did.
Yeah. And that's why this area is so...
That's why people want to be here.
Want to be here. Yep.
Exactly.
Chris Jakubowski here from the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors, the Battlefield District. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Chris Jakubowski this morning as we talk of Spotsylvania and some of the things going on. The other night, the board got a full report in a discussion, and I was glued to it because so many of these times, you know, when we talk transportation or we talk about some of these things, Chris, that are they're big issues, they're important issues, but they take a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to convenience sites, mm-hmm. and it spoke to me just because I go to the Chancellor convenience site all the time, and I think some good things, having now gone after, I guess, last Wednesday, everything was shut down for a day and they kind of reconfigured some things or mm-hmm. changed some things. Some good things are necessary there, but it's going to take a lot of us some getting used to. And just because it's because I think of use is what you're dealing with there.
Well, and you know, again, go back however many years, this is these convenience sites have been here. We haven't opened a new one in years.
Yeah, right.
And we haven't really changed anything around in years. So, you know, it's one of those things that I think it kind of gets overlooked. You know, it's a necessary part of what we do, but it's not really a exciting part of what we do. And so nobody really pays attention until it falls apart like now. And so, you know, if you were to come, I mean, here's a great example. 2014, we had a bond referendum asking the voters to allow the board to take out general obligation bonds. And we had schools and transportation and public safety. And the other one was landfill. And landfill lost. People voted it down.
Right.
But it was necessary. We needed to open more cells at the Livingston landfill, which, by the way, previous boards have done, and our board has done a great job in planning out for that.
Yeah.
We have, I think it's over 100 years of capacity, something like that, down at Livingston. We've done a fantastic job. But you do need money to build out these cells so that you can continue to use the landfill. And so, but that got voted down. And so if you did one right now asking people for money, now it would actually, I think, pass because people, it affects them now.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
And again, I'm not blaming citizens whatsoever, but you kind of just get used to it is. And then when it isn't, then and it affects you and, you know, you can't take brush to Chancellor. You have to drive all the way down to Livingston, which one of my comments the other night was I'm going to get phone calls from people in my district going, where is Livingston? Because nobody right. goes there. I mean, right. it's way down there.
Yeah.
And even Berkeley, I had to look up on a map where the Berkeley landfill was because I don't go there.
Yeah, I could get you to Livingston, but I couldn't get you to Berkeley.
Yeah. Well, I can get you to Berkeley now. I know okay. where it is now. But but those are the things that we need to pay attention to, and I don't think that we have.
No.
And so now it's coming to the point, and I asked for that presentation because, you know, we had the time of the time that it closed the landfill's close was changed. We had the Marshall Park one shut down. We had multiple things happening, and I wanted information again to get out there so people understood what was going on. And I think that this really brought it to the surface that we've kind of neglected what we have there, and all the sites we've kind of and I shouldn't say neglected in a bad way, just neglected that it hasn't come to the top of the list of things that we need to do. And so we've put together a working committee with staff, and we have two board members on it, to address the issue, to not only deal with the short-term issue that we have with, you know, brush at Chancellor especially, because right now nobody's taking brush to Chancellor.
Right.
But once springtime comes and all the snow is gone and people start cleaning up the yard, we're going to start getting the phone calls, emails, and all of the, you know, expletives that people are going to throw at us because they're going to have to drive to you know, Livingston. And mm-hmm. and for me, Livingston is easily a 45-minute round-trip drive, easily.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, I'm further down in the county. Just you wait till you get somebody in the northwest part of the county. That can be an hour and a half round trip for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, and especially when they don't know what's going on.
Because people don't pay attention to,
right.
you know, just like the time change.
Right.
And unless you, and there are signs all posted, but you just right. tend to not, you just tend to go where you're going.
Right. Well, and people don't pay attention. And again, everybody has things that they're doing and they're busy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you've seen on social media a million times people will say, hey, what's going on at the corner of so-and-so and so-and-so? And somebody will answer. And then inevitably there'll be another post, you know, a week later. Hey, anybody know what's getting built at this corner?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
same thing.
The exact same question over and over and over again. So we need to do a better job of getting the information out there. But we also need to do a better job of planning for the future and making especially Chancellor more accessible and more user-friendly.
Yeah.
Because we haven't done anything to it in many years, and our population keeps growing.
It's so crowded.
Yeah.
As I said to you the other night,
yeah.
I oftentimes think I'm going to get hit here one of these days because
oh, yeah.
cars are going in and out, and
yep.
you're back, you have to be looking around, and
yeah.
it's just going to take, and I'm sure that happens.
Oh, I'm sure. And the problem that we're also facing, too, is that you have a lot of people that aren't following the rules. So, you know, about 5 years ago, we came up with that.
The green sticker.
Yeah. I voted against it all along.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't – I'm not the type of person that just wants to do something to do something. I want to do something to solve a problem or to fix something as best you can. And I went back to my Facebook page when I was posting about that 5 years ago, and anybody can go there too and just search my page for I think it's the trash tax or the decal. You'll find a lot of these posts. But it's the same thing. It's what is the problem that we're trying to fix? And will this fix it? And if it won't fix it, then why are we doing it? And the problem that I really have, and this really starts to annoy me, is that we have a lot of good people that are following the rules and doing the right thing. You have a couple of bad apples out there that aren't. And yet we are going to make the other people that are doing the right thing, we're going to make them jump
yeah.
through more hoops. We're going to add more regulations, rules, and things that they have to do. And the people that weren't following to begin with still aren't going to follow. So, but yet we focus all of our attention on the people that are doing what they're supposed to be doing and not focus it on the people that aren't doing what they should be doing. And that is another focus of this committee too, is to address the issue that we're facing and not make it cumbersome for people that are, you know, just trying to use what their taxpayer dollars go for, which is, you know, the landfills and the convenient sites and all of that service. And which, by the way, we do provide a amazing service. Nobody else around here does that.
No, I was just going to say to you, that was one of the more interesting things. The locality is the size of Spotsylvania. I think they said Hanover is as close as you can come, and they provide just a fraction of what Spotsylvania, which is much bigger than Hanover, provides.
Yeah, it's not even half of what we do. And I think we do it really well. You know, we have good gate attendants. You know, the folks that drive the trucks from, you know, each of the convenience sites down to Livingston, because that's where all the trash has to then, you know, be brought to. You know, they do an outstanding job, and yet we haven't planned for the future with it. And I think that it's, you know, unfortunately, it got to that point. Like I just said, government doesn't do anything until it breaks. And now it's broken.
Yeah.
And so we need to fix it, and we need to do a better job.
No, the people that are the gate attendants, be nice to them, smile to them, say hi, because I see everybody, you know, if they tell you, you can't put that there, you got to take it over to number 7.
Right.
I've seen people argue with them and just drop it and just say, you take it. And it's just been like, treat these people with respect, please.
Yeah, and especially hearing the stories that our staff was giving the board the other night about, you know, the near assaults that are going on.
Yeah.
Are you really that much of a jerk that you have to assault a gate attendant who's telling you where to put the trash that you brought? You know, and again, those I would say they fall into the category of the bad apples and the people not following the rules. And quite honestly, I would like to find a way to ban those people. Because if you're going to yell, curse, you know, use bad language at these people, and a lot of them, you know, they didn't sign up for that.
No.
That's not what they're there for.
Right.
And so if you're going to treat them like that, get the hell out of here. We don't want you here anymore. I know we probably can't do that, but, you know, in my world, we would do that because, you know, you lost your privilege. Sorry. I don't care.
Right. Yeah. No, it is. And this will be a topic, obviously, I think that we're going to be talking about much this year, just because with this committee, and there are going to be some changes. If you were like me and you went and you got mulch, I knew that at Chancellor, it's not there anymore.
Right.
And I always knew that day was going to come, but I always appreciated it. But
and that's another thing we need to do is configure the sites to work better.
Yeah.
And it will take money, and that's the thing that, you know, people need to understand is it costs to do these things. It doesn't just happen. But I also don't want to just fix it so that it's fixed for this year and then next year we're revisiting it or 5 years from now. I would like us to actually have some sort of a plan where we follow it as best we can, and circumstances change, you change with it, but we move along so that in 10 years we're not, or 5 years, we're not falling back into the same spot.
Yeah. Take a quick break and come back. We'll talk about budget time, and that's always an interesting time in any locality. And we'll talk about that with Chris Akabowski from the Battlefield District Board Chairman of the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors. More News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor, Board of Supervisors Chairman Chris Akabowski in this morning, and from the Battlefield District. Is this your, I'm trying to think, this your third time as chairman?
Yes, third time.
As chairman, I guess there are more responsibilities besides running the meeting. I guess you set the agenda, and I guess you work with the county administrator a little bit more.
Yeah, you do work. I mean, you kind of become the point person. It's not a rule, nor is it anything that, you know, any board member can call county admin at any time and talk about anything that they want. Anybody can add anything to the agenda. You're just more of the facilitator, I guess, is a good way to put it. You know, you're also there at board meetings. What you try to do is run efficient meetings, you know, not try to cut off people. Like we had a chairman a few years back who he would get tired of conversations. Yes. And just, you know, I'm done. I want to be out of here by 8 o'clock. And, you know, but it's to keep the conversations going, keep them on point, you know, so they don't become repetitive. And also have those discussions, because I think it's necessary for the, again, for the public to see why. One of the things that has always bugged me is when any board, it doesn't matter where, you know, listens to a presentation, then all of a sudden votes on something. And I'm not saying it's controversial, but it's a big vote. You know, you're making law and policy, and you don't explain why. I mean, even just give a summary of what you're doing and why. I just think it's helpful for the public. And when you don't do that, and especially when everybody comes in and just looks at each other and they vote, you know, yes or no, whatever it might be, it just looks like it was coordinated and there's no discussion with in public, so that the public understands what's happening. And that, as chairman, you try to keep that moving. You try to make sure that everybody has a chance to speak and is heard, because, you know, we're a board of seven. Not one of us has any more power than anybody else.
Sure.
And the only power is in a majority vote. And so, you know, you try to keep it moving right along. And I hope I do a good job with that.
It's budget time. And I don't know if there is a more tedious and really contentious at times for any locality in budget, just because so much is at stake. And these are tough times. And the state keeps... Mm-hmm. We can do shows. If it's sometime this year, if you want to do a show and just talk about just the mandates, the unfunded mandates,
right,
that localities that you're having to fund through your money and you get blamed for a lot of times, a tax rate that we really don't have a lot of say in.
Right. Well, it seems like the entire year is budget year. Yeah, it is. We might have the summer off as, you know, just as a break, as a slowdown. But as soon as, you know, the fall time shows up, because the fiscal year starts July 1st. And so as soon as the budget is done, the next budget is already being worked on. And in fact, is being worked on before the budget's done. But, you know, we get updates. That's the time that you get your input into staff of what your priorities are. And then you're right. A lot of stuff, and I've done this in the past, and I'm going to continue to do this. And we have staff that is just outstanding when it comes to explaining what's going on. Is that when it comes to a budget, especially a government budget, and you get new money in, and people will look and go, "Oh my goodness, you just got X number of dollars. You know, it's a 20% increase, but you know, some of that money might have been earmarked from the state or the feds for something specific.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it might have been one-time money." That just, you know, is to put up a wastewater treatment plant, which we're in the process of doing, things like that. But beyond that, then you have your budget, because we mainly bring in money from your real estate, which is the biggest pool of money that comes in, and then the car tax, which is a ridiculously stupid tax, but yet it brings in an enormous amount of money. So if the state's going to do away with it, it would be great if they still give us the money, because we already have obligations that are tied to that.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not against any of that kind of stuff. I don't know what the best way to, you know, levy taxes is, because you do need money to run. And I'm just talking about local government. State and feds, they can, you know, come on here and defend it themselves. I'm not going to defend their idiocy that they do. But we... At our level, you know, we have to provide the services. Like we just talked about landfill, public safety, education. We're taking on roads, which are not a local responsibility, but they've become that. When you go for our planning department, our social services, you know, the court system, the county pays for a lot of that too, are all of these things that, you know, people expect, and they should expect it to be done well and efficient, but it takes money to do that. And we compete. That's the other problem. We compete against our northern neighbors, which have more money.
Yeah.
And now our southern neighbors going down to Richmond, they have more money now too. So, you know, they start, you know, picking off good people that we have working, and it makes it more difficult. But when it comes down to all this, our administrator will be presenting his budget in February. And then the schools do the same thing. And then this is all wrapped up by April-ish.
It's a lot of meetings, a lot of... It seems as though the school board and the board of supervisors there's more of an openness, and you've advocated this for years,
yes,
of having the two instead of just showing up during budget time, to have more meetings and more of an understanding.
Yeah, I mean it's important when you have the one part of your budget that's the biggest part of your budget that you never hear from until they're asking for money. That doesn't seem to make any sense to me. And so for them to come to us, and in fact, Megan Jackson, who's just elected chairman of the school board, we just had a talk the other night about getting together and talking about things and perhaps even, say, September, October-ish, have another roundtable with the school board so that they can give us a preview of what's coming up.
Yeah.
And so I would like to have them back at minimum once this year, after they present their budget, so that we can ask questions. And the bigger thing is so they can answer questions. And that's the part I think that people sometimes miss, is that I don't think that there's ever a school board that is asking for something that they don't need. And they believe that they need it. And so if we have questions about it, it's very, and we did one this past year, and it had been several years since we had done one, is to have them sitting there across the table or next to you. Actually, that's how we did it. It was by district. But you ask questions, and they can explain, and they can give you their thoughts and their ideas and where they're coming from. And, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to fund everything, but you have a better understanding of what's going on, because too much animosity has been there in the past. Too much, mistrust has been there. And the best way to get rid of all of that is to have openness and come together and have some discussions and do it publicly so that the public sees what's going on also, because, you know, it's their money.
Between schools, between the sheriff and public in fire and rescue, there are a lot of balls that you're having to juggle.
Oh, yeah.
Every year. And just to keep, and like you say, you've got other localities. The schools are dealing with it, all of them. Everybody around here deals with other localities, you know, poaching your people.
Yeah. And the further north you go, of course, see what the state has also done when it comes to school funding is that the state has given Northern Virginia a subsidy. Mm-hmm. So they get a subsidy and they have more money, and we have to fight against that with trying to provide, you know, salaries for our folks that are competitive, that, you know, doesn't make them want to leave here and make, you know, better money going up north. And so, you know, those are all the headwinds that we have. Plus, when it comes to a budget, you already have sort of built into your budget all of the obligations that you've taken on over the years. So, you know, whether it's a SAFER grant, which is a federal grant for fire and rescue to provide personnel, those are typically, I think it was a 4-year grant, and it goes from 100%, 75%, 50%, 25%, and then you pay for it. Well, when you pay for it, you pick up the entire cost. So unless you're planning for that, it can hit you. Or if you open a fire station, you know, building a fire station is great, but you got to staff it.
Yep.
And staffing that's well over $1 million per station just for new personnel. So, you know, all of these things are cost. So it's nice to sit there and say, hey, we're going to build a road like that one I just mentioned in Massaponics, $70 million. Well, the locality's part of that is around $6 million. We have to pony that up. And you take that, then you take other ones that we're doing, and eventually you get to a point where you're spending a lot of money Not on unnecessary things. You know, we're not the federal government where we waste it.
Right.
We're spending it on things that need to be done and need to be expended. But it all kind of comes to a head. So, you know, past several years, we've sort of been out there putting out these IOUs kind of, we'll pay for that in the future. Yes, we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll do that. Well, now the bill is coming due. And now we have issues that have been neglected, like our convenience sites and landfills, and we have to do something about that. So, you know, that's to say, I'm saying all that to say that this budget year, like every other budget year, is going to be tough and difficult, and not everybody's going to get what they want. But I think we need to prioritize. And beyond that, we need to plan so that we're not reacting to issues. We're actually getting ahead of issues as much as we can.
Well, and things like you say, like the convenience sites, they're not the flashy kind of issues. And when they come up on a referendum, a lot of times you're thinking, nah, I don't want to right. spend money on that. But you start seeing, you know, wastewater treatment plants,
right.
and dealing with that. And you look at what happened recently in Richmond, and you right. think that's why sometimes you have to pay for those, even though they're not the shiny thing that you can have you can make a big deal about. But when you don't have it,
right.
you're really behind. You can get really behind quickly.
Well, that's local government is where it works. You know, your day-to-day life, this is what we affect. You know, Washington, it's fun to watch and, looking forward to the inauguration later today. But it's not going to affect your life as much as
nope.
as our board will when they do a couple of rezonings on Harrison Road and they don't widen the road. Right. You know, those type of things come into play more in your life than anything else. And that's why it's important to have good people on the board that want to do the right thing, but that we also have a plan that we're working with. Because again, when you just react to things, even in your own life, when you're just reacting to things and not doing anything, preemptive to make sure that you don't have, like your roof, if you have a small leak in your roof, you go to get it replaced. You don't wait till the whole thing falls apart mm-hmm. before you do something. And that's, unfortunately, the problem that we have is that, these are taxpayer dollars and we're very mindful of how we spend them. And you don't want to spend them, ahead of time, because then it looks like you're just wasting money because you didn't need to spend it. But you also don't want to get to that point where you have to spend it because everything has fallen apart. So it's a fine line that you walk. I haven't found it just yet. We're trying to find that
yeah.
that middle ground. But that's definitely where you have to be, because it's very important that you don't waste money, but that you do plan ahead.
5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, when the board was approving all these rezonings and all these subdivisions, and you were the one no vote
mm-hmm.
on most of them,
mm-hmm.
maybe all of them, but most of them, and the board would always say, but this is 20 years away, they're going to build. Well, they're building a lot of them right now, like you say, yeah. Harrison Road, and that's why you pay attention to those kinds of things. And when you see that you have a public hearing on a rezoning, especially if it's going to affect you,
yeah.
it may affect it's going to affect you someday.
Well, a real quick story is, I remember back when we were dealing with the baseball stadium, and we had a lot of people that were upset about that when it wanted to come to Spotsylvania, and they were there and they voiced their opinion, which is fantastic, but they all left. And right after that, we had two massive rezonings. And I remember one of the first speakers that got up there, and as the other people were leaving, said, you realize that what they're voting on right now is going to affect the county more than this baseball stadium would ever affect it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, but again, it's not flashy. It's not exciting. It's, it's kind of boring. But when it actually happens and you're sitting there going, what the heck is that? Why is that going on?
Yeah.
Well, that is because of the vote that happened way back here. And you're right, a lot of these bills are coming due, quite honestly, and they've been many years in the making. And I haven't voted against everyone. There are some I have voted for because it made sense for the area, or it made sense yeah. for the county. There's a few that I have voted for, but the majority of them, and we're finding, you're right, it's not a 20-year plan, it's a 10-year plan, and guess what? It's been 10 years.
And it's going to start impacting schools.
Yes.
And then there'll be that discussion yeah. about building schools.
Well, we haven't built a new school in coming up on 18 years now.
Ooh.
It was 2007 or 2008. I think it was 7. Might have been 8. Anyway, it's 17, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
With Cedar Forest. That was the last school that we built.
Yeah. I was thinking.
I mean, the last Tasco we built was Riverbend, which was 02, 01, somewhere
yeah.
around there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's been 2 decades.
And all you have to do is look at the city and you look at Stafford yep. that are building schools
yep.
and think that that's going to be knocking on the door.
It's going to be here before we know it. And again, we need to plan for that. We need to to realize, and we have overcrowding at schools right now too, and we have to deal with that issue also. And so a lot of these things have been pushed down the road, and you know, it's coming time to deal with them. And unfortunately, they might be all coming together at once. And we're going to do our best not to to space them out a little bit better, because the impact is going to be a lot.
Chris Jakubowski here from the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors, the Battlefield District. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Chris Jakubowski here this morning from the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors. We're going to have to do this a lot more this, not only this year, but other years. Speaking of other years, are you looking at, this is a re-election
Yes, this
year.
Is an election year for myself and Lori and Kevin. It's the eastern part of the county.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because we staggered the terms a few years back. And so, I'm going to run again this year, and hope that I'm able to win the support of my neighbors and constituents. And hopefully they think I'm doing a good job and they'll keep me in there.
It's always interesting talking to Bobby Orok about campaigning in this area and how it's changed. I guess you've seen that too. When you first ran, the number of subdivisions were much fewer than they are today.
Well, and I've gone through two redistrictings. So parts of the district that I used to represent, I don't. And I have new parts, but I still have the core area. And the new parts, are parts that I've been to and talked to anyway. So, but looking forward to it. So anybody have any questions, let me know. Or email's the best way, because then I can email you back like I was last night at like midnight and 1 o'clock and just get them done. Nobody wants a phone call at 1 o'clock in the morning
from
me.
I don't think so. No. I don't think so. What did you ever represent? Because I remember years ago it was Wakeman Drive. Was that the drive where they?
Yeah, I still do.
Okay, when they lowered the speed limit, that at that time was just like the biggest controversy. Everyone complained.
It was a private road. It was a private road, and then they continued it out to Route 1, where Walmart and Lowe's are at South Point 2.
Yeah,
and that was a private road that they basically took. And it was a neighborhood road that was 25 miles an hour, so I fought with VDOT at the time to keep it 25.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people do 25 through there, but it's posted, and hopefully you do and respect the folks that live there.
No, that's how far back we go that I remember that. At one time, that was just you would come in and we would talk about that for much of the show.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, and I make sure I go 25 through there.
I do too.
I don't want a ticket, and that being a headline of fought so hard for it, and then I am speeding through their neighborhood.
No, I always remember that was talked about, and I always watch my speed. But you're right, most don't. But
no, they don't. But anyway, looking forward to it. And again, if anybody has any questions, let me know.
The Battlefield District is roughly where.
It's Massaponics is the best way.
Okay,
It's north on Mine Road, all the way down Lafayette, all of Lee's Park. I have Fox Point, Breezewood. I'm gonna leave out some places, but Spotswood Estates. Those are the neighborhoods that South Oaks now too. So I don't have Kingswood anymore. I used to represent Levels Crossing years ago.
Yeah.
But not anymore. But it's basically that Massaponics area. It's all developed land. No rural area for me at all.
I remember we talked years ago. Again, this is one of these conversations of where you had talked about if VDOT just made the turn lane a little longer.
Yes.
It would help with traffic. And I come to some of those intersections that we talked about then and think, if someone had just said, let's try it here. It would have worked years ago. Well, sometimes it's simple.
Well, and some of them that we've actually got done, my poor kids have had to listen to me constantly say, hey, I got this intersection, or this turn lane lengthened. And they're like, yeah, all right, we heard that. And that's the 1,000th time we heard that one.
Chris Jakubowski from the Battlefield District Board of Supervisors, chairman running for re-election. Chris, we'll talk soon. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.